You compare prices when shopping for flights, hotels, cars. So why not small business insurance? At Simply Business, we'll show you policies that fit your business and a range of prices to help you save. Who knew buying insurance could be so simple? Visit simplybusiness.com for your free quote today.
When you run a business, there are a lot of boxes to check.
Let's see. Payroll? Check. Inventory? Check. Insurance? Ugh.
Well, good thing Simply Business makes getting small business insurance fast and easy. Just answer a few questions, review your quotes, and get covered in under 10 minutes, all online. It's that simple. Check insurance off your list at simplybusiness.com. Running a business means checking a lot of boxes.
Let's see. Payroll? Check. Inventory? Check. Insurance? Ugh.
Good thing Simply Business makes getting small business insurance fast and easy. Check insurance off your list at simplybusiness.com. When you run a business, there are a lot of boxes to check.
Let's see. Payroll? Check. Inventory? Check. Insurance? Ugh.
Well, good thing Simply Business makes getting small business insurance fast and easy. Just answer a few questions, review your quotes, and get covered in under 10 minutes, all online. It's that simple. Check insurance off your list at simplybusiness.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
There's so many questions with the case against Richard Allen and these Delphi murders. I suppose one could say, well, I mean, if you're going to be a killer, you got to start somewhere if that's what you're going to do. But how often does somebody in their mid-40s decide, I think I'm going to go kill two girls out in the woods and that's it, and then just leave the bodies and put some sort of weird ritualistic thing on that this guy has no real history of being involved with? I mean, it just doesn't seem to add up.
It doesn't happen. You know, so, and you said, you know, you don't wake up one day and say, today I'm going to murder someone.
Mm-hmm.
These are escalations in behavior. Typically, there are mutilations of animals. There's violence against, there's other violence in their relationships that they have that are demonstrated that can be articulated. Even when there's depression involved with someone and mental health, they generally don't go to this extreme. And so also the other thing that we're missing here is a triggering event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually that someone that's on this unhealthy arc that's going to end in this type of violence, they're escalating to feeling disenfranchised, the victim mentality, being a wound collector, mental health, whatever the issues are. And then there's a triggering event that sends them over the edge that goes, I'm going to commit this crime and do this violence to another human being. What's the triggering event?
What's the motive? What's any of it? I mean,
I'm just flummoxed by the entire thing. Again, when the trial starts and we see all the evidence, mm-hmm. you know, I'm hoping I'm not eating my words on all this, but from what we see, from what's being put out there, I just don't see how the confessions are matching the behavior.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we haven't seen the probable cause affidavit, so I'm really curious as to what exactly is there. I mean, that's why we have trials. That's why we do this, so we can, you know, look at the evidence before we make a final judgment. But again, it would just be so out of left field in human behavior in general. Even if you were to say there's a mental illness going on here or this or that, it still doesn't fit any of those molds. Look at like a Koberger or something like that. Obviously, he's innocent until proven guilty. But we can look at his behavior arc. We can look at all the things that led up to that day and go, that kind of makes sense. I could see that guy, you know, there's clearly an issue with women, very odd, you know, just sense of self, and go, yeah, I can see him doing that. Not this guy. I mean, fairly well liked in his community, worked at the CVS, has kids, just kind of your average Joe. What he kind of seems like. So to go out on this limb to say that this is the guy, I mean, and I would think you would have to have something pretty damn strong in a probable cause affidavit to warrant the treatment that he's had over these years. Because, I mean, it's been extreme. It's been crazy. Or is it one of these situations where went too far at the beginning and somebody's covering up for bad behavior here and somebody's covering up for bad behavior here, and I'm talking on the part of law enforcement, mm-hmm. Not on his part, where it's like it just keeps escalating and then it's glaringly wrong, but we got to keep going. This is the path we've gone down, and now we can't dig ourselves out, so we might as well just keep digging down.
You know, and now and then we see this in cases. Now and then we see this in cases, and we just got done talking about it with Karen Reed as well, where you're not, law enforcement isn't thinking ahead far enough to think of how big an impact or how big this case is when they all of a sudden resort to the lazy, easy answer. We don't like Karen Reed, so let's just make it easy. We heard her say she thinks she might have done it. Let's just pin it on her and be done with this. And so we'll be sloppy about everything we do because who cares? It's on her. No one likes her anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, again, I'm oversimplifying a very complex and horrible case, but it's a, I think in my opinion, it's a case of law enforcement got lazy because they thought they could. Same thing might have happened in this case. Hey, we got a guy that all of a sudden, you know, we kind of put some pressure on him. He's kind of depressed anyway. And so he's like, oh, here's an easy way to end my life. I'll just say I did it.
Yeah.
You know, so let's just make this easy and go with him. And so when you take the easy route, you're not paying attention, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and then all this mess happens because they just did a poor job. Because what I'm really curious about in this one as well is you have a defense team that cares very deeply and passionately about exonerating him and saving his life.
Yes.
There's a reason behind that as well. And I'm really, really curious about what they see, what they know. And I believe they think he's more innocent than Alan wants to be, just because he might even just be like, just at this point, I just give up. I mean,
yeah.
So think about this. Put yourself, here's our empathy hat. Be Alan.
Yeah.
If you are, again, from the little dots, very limited data points, if you're suffering from some depression, you're not feeling too good about yourself, and then all of a sudden someone accuses you of murder, and you're like, screw it. Might as well. I did it.
Yeah. And at this point, it'd be very easy to understand why he would be in that state, being broken down as much as he had. But you got a good point there with the defense attorneys going through hell to keep trying to represent him and not just walking off going, yeah, he's probably guilty anyhow. Good luck.
And fighting to stay on his team when they were dismissed.
And they're not making any money on this either. That's the other
part. That is very unusual. I mean, this is a righteous group. And I use that word righteous because they believe it's extremely important for them to do this.
Yeah.
There's compulsion in there, a human factor that's going into their behavior and their actions that is really important to keep part of this process and understanding as well, I think.
Yeah, it says a lot too, that people are going to do that and spend a lot of their time, a lot of their, I mean, they're talking like when he was at the other facility, it was like a 2-hour drive just to go see him, and for no money either. They're not profiting off of this. I mean, maybe they'll do a book or something, but this is why I think, you know, good defense attorneys become defense attorneys for a case like this, where you can truly make a difference in someone's life if you truly believe that they are really being dealt a bad hand.
So here's an interesting way to kind of think about this as we're reflecting on Alan in this case. So now, since you mentioned Koberg, think about Koberger's lawyer and his defense lawyer. This is a highly paid defense lawyer doing a lot of procedural work on the process. Seems very mechanical, very, very talented, doing a very good job.
Sure.
And even in the Rex Huerman case, you know, defense there, very, very procedure-based, very, very doing my job-based. And then when you look at and you feel the emotional difference between Alan's defense team and all these others, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
And the big difference is, and we said it in espionage all the time, happy people don't commit espionage. Happy people or healthy people don't murder people. And when you have behaviors behind the scenes that inspire people to kind of line up with you like this, this Alan's either extremely, extremely well adept at manipulating people and manipulating his team to think this way about him, or he's just this kind of guy that they want to help. So it's an interesting way to kind of look at it.
Very much is. And again, it doesn't fit the profile of being a real manipulative guy either. So, like, what is he? Yeah, that's the question.
Seems like a guy who just might have given up.
Yeah.
Want more of the podcast without the ads?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts.
Try it now for 3 days, absolutely free.
You'll get access to all of our extended advance ad-free episodes instantly,
so you can binge without the break. True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Search and subscribe now on Apple Podcasts.